Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Casey.
And you're listening to
The Element Podcast. What's going on, my woods peoples? We out here.
We in here. Man. I hope they use different music on this intro than they normally do. I'm getting tired of the one that's normal now.
What is it?
It's that sunset. No,
that's what I like. Oh, man, that's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, it's cool, but, yeah. You know, they don't get creative, man.
We need to do red.
Like, every once in a while,
Michael
let's do something
will do
different.
Red if he does it.
He loves it. I'll say, you know, I went and, you know, spent some money to get a new one made a couple summers ago, released on the Meteor podcast, actually. It was the first time it was really ever available to the public. And I don't think the boys use it at all.
Let's tell them.
We'll inform them of it.
Yeah.
Tell them what's up, y'all.
Tell them you want some of that tat.
Different Tyler and the Tribe stuff, you know. It's not just a one-trick pony here.
Give the people what they want, you know.
You know, speaking of one-trick ponies, man, there's been a lot of questions that we've gotten in our Q&A series that have actually helped me, I think, as much as
that?
It probably helped other people.
Hey, by the way, this is brought to you by First Light Gear.
Yeah.
Continue talking, please.
Thank you. Yep. We forget that oftentimes. but this, you know, the thing about, like, you can't be a one-trick pony if you're going to travel and hunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's some cool
but you wouldn't be as successful as maybe ultimately you would be.
For sure. You got to kind of develop and know more and do more and have these different things that you try, you know, and I think that's part of Big Deal is like not just being closed-minded and trying new stuff, whether it's broadheads or arrow weights or, you know, rattling techniques or not rattling or, you know, hunting outside of a certain week window that you normally hunt or whatever it might be. There's a million different things, different weathers, whatever. So I've just been thinking about, you know, man, that's a pretty handy thing that I've been challenged through our Q&As to think about stuff. And when you speak it aloud, it really like comes to life more than because you're having to consider it in your mind, and then you're having to make a statement about it that you hope is fairly accurate and understanding. And I think that's a pretty fun thing. You and I have had a pretty good season so far. It's been just kind of like maybe just slightly past the midway point. Looking back at some of the things that. We've been blessed to do and some of the accomplishments that we've been blessed to have this year. And it's pretty cool, man. I'm looking forward to a few more deer kills, man. But, you know, there's been all kinds of tactics used. It's pretty fun that we get to go and do this for such a long period of time because you get to see what they're doing when it's hot in September or when it's late in September and things are changing on the landscape or it's getting colder at night or whatever. And then early October, how that can be different. Mid-October or late October, how sometimes that can be different.
Mm-hmm.
Different places in the U.S. have different ruts, right? Like, mm-hmm. we were seeing some rut in action in some of the different areas in Texas, like in mid-October, you know. But we had better weather probably overall in October than we did. We had a couple of good fronts in October. One was middle of October, I killed a buck on. And then late October, you killed a buck on in South mm-hmm. Dakota on that cold front, which was like a nationwide deal. And I don't know. It's just been – it's really cool. I feel like very happy, man, that I get a chance to learn all these things. And I really enjoy doing that. Like, it's – man – it is just so much fun to, like, I feel like more than ever I understand what deer are doing. I'm also still very lost, right? You know what I mean? As far as that goes. But I'm just saying, like, more than I have ever personally understood, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's guys that would be better, a lot better at big woods hunting than you or I, right?
Yep.
And even be one trick ponies. But, yeah. Like, they get the daggum big woods thing.
One thing about the big woods is you got to drive a long ways to get out of them.
So yeah.
That trick might just be the thing you do for sure. A lot of states.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's something that's also exciting is like as much as we've done, as much as we do, there's for a long time, there's going to be challenges still that mm-hmm. we can kind of take on in the whitetail game, which is like big woods or even the marsh and swamp stuff, right? Like that's something hills.
Yeah. I think you need to go to Florida and hunt. Deer is what I think, Tyler. Yeah.
I think there's some people that would like us to.
I think
but
I'm challenging you to do that.
Don't challenge me.
That doesn't work on me near as good as it did in my 20s.
I'm not that way either.
Right now, our biggest challenge, honestly, is paying the bills. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So we got to pay bills right now, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it is Traditions Week at Meat Eater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That means that we're all thinking about Thanksgiving. I know there's a lot of traditions that go along with that. A lot of us have some cool stuff we do in the woods around this time of year. It used to be a tradition for us a little bit to leave out the day after Thanksgiving and go deer hunting. We had a deer lease in South Texas. I can remember like eating turkey and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, down there. It's kind of cool. We don't do that anymore, though. Sadly, kind of got priced out of release about 20 years ago. It's crazy to think about how long ago that was. But there's a lot of things people have going on. And, of course, within that, too, some of these people got these traditions about doing Black Friday, like, rage. Mm-hmm. And that is not me. I try to not see.
My wife and her sister, just, they do the Friday.
Girls are into shopping. That.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and my wife's pretty practical about it, really. Like,
yeah.
She will do 90% of Christmas shopping on that day.
Hey, we might buy us a TV on Cyber Monday.
Let's go, dude.
So, Traditions Week goes Monday to Monday. At Meat Eater.
Cyber and traditions don't sound too synonymous.
No, it doesn't, you know. But right now, today is, when we're recording this, is on a Monday, but this goes all week. There's a Can-Am that you can win mm-hmm. on Meat Eater, and there's a whole bunch of discounted stuff at First Light Meat Eater, FHF, all that stuff. We'll put a link in the description below if you're feeling festive or traditional or whatever. I mean, they got a Stormy Cromer, which I don't even know what that is, but it's a pretty traditional-looking hat, I'd say, you know, if you wanted one of them things on First
Light. I mean, Peter Pan wore it for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
dude.
So that's been around
absolutely,
a while.
Absolutely, you know. I remember watching the Santa Claus, that elf had one of them things on for sure.
Like Will Ferrell wore that thing in Elf.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So get out there and get your tradition on.
If you want to be like Will Ferrell, yeah. You can get that done, for sure.
But like we said, we have to pay the bills, and we appreciate y'all supporting us in that stuff. If you would like to purchase some First Light gear, especially, you know, we made this point earlier. The late season stuff, the cold weather stuff, is the most expensive. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff you really need to make sure and try to buy on a discount if you have an mm-hmm. opportunity. And right now, that's going down. In fact, dude, I couldn't believe this a while ago. I saw that the Solitude or Sanctuary, I don't know, I think it's Solitude, which is like the midway late season. It's pretty warm. Mm-hmm. It's what I wear a lot. And it's like 40% off, which puts it at a real reasonable price.
Well, Steve apparently just made a 10% or more upgrade on all the discounted stuff.
Well, he cares about the people, doesn't he?
He does, man. Steve's a caring guy. He cares about me for sure.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and another thing to think about, though, is also Christmas presents, like mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier. Like, there's some cool stuff on the Meat Eater store. Like, if you want to go get – your son, your nephew, your brother, whatever, like a good knife. There's mm-hmm. Benchmade knives. There's Vortex stuff, you know. And I don't know to what extent. Listen, guys, I should know this, but I don't know to what extent these discounts
we
extend on the website.
Go deer hunting instead of looking at all this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna probably check it out, but I haven't so far because it's the first day of the week. But
hey, if you got that guy, you don't know what to buy him. Like, they got spice assortments.
Yeah.
For every guy likes to think they cook meat. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't, they to think they do. So get them one of them spice assortments.
Think it's handy on Christmas Day when they get it. And then next Christmas, they'll be like, oh, I hadn't used that one time yet. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm just saying there's a lot of good application to a Black Friday sale. And one is to be able to get Christmas presents. And there's some different and cool stuff. It's not just all First Light. At least on the website. Like I said, I don't know what extent the discounts extend, but go check it out.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Back to deer and deer hunting, and because that's just what we're doing right now. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do.
Yeah, we're taking a little bit of a break this week, which is weird.
Yeah, it is. It's going to feel weird because it's been hot the whole month, and then all of a sudden a cold front's going to come in, and I'm going to be just in the middle of Thanksgiving stuff, and I'm going to be like, listen, I love y'all, but could we have done this when it was 80 degrees instead of when it's 50?
I know, man. I know it. Hey, so we're going to get into some story from you about a big, giant buck.
B-G-G-G-G-B.
Looks ridiculous. But first, I have a question.
Yeah.
I might get to hunt one day this week. Would you hunt my property or would you go to public?
I would go to public.
I kind of think I would too.
It's sad. But it's the same situation on my property too.
Yeah. Properties are dried up.
I was going to hunt today. We literally, guys, me and Casey talked earlier.
We talk a lot.
I think we decided we don't actually hunt for a living. We logistic for a living.
Yeah.
And today we have, I got up at 5:30 and I have been working literally nonstop, either on the computer or with KC on podcasts and that kind of thing, literally since that. And now it's 5 p.m. and mm-hmm. we're still podcasting.
Yeah. So what are you working on right now?
I'm editing your video, which Michael has put a lot of together, and I'm doing a lot of fine-tuning on it. It is a video of you shooting a big old monster buck on that October cold front I referenced in South Dakota.
Yeah, so when this comes out, there's a high likelihood that within a 24-hour window, somewhere in there, this video is also out.
The goal is to have it out, like, around the same time the podcast comes out.
So y'all go watch that. Support us in that if you can. It's a pretty long video, but mm-hmm. there's, like, I don't know if I've been it in might this be the close buckiest. Proximity to big bucks yeah. ever in my life. It's ridiculous.
It's probably the buckiest video we have.
Yeah.
It's crazy, guys. It's There's be cool. some awesome footage here.
So, go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Click everything you see in the description. Just click it. Just do it. but, Tyler.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned some warm weather in early November.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you don't care, and you just get on bucks anyways.
Listen. November 10th just is a day.
Was that the 10th?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Start us out your week. So here's the deal, guys.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Let me bring you in, okay, and then Tyler's going to take off. You know, it's kind of like Elon just launched that rocket ship in South Texas, right? And so, like, everything kind of goes, and then blasts off, right? So I'm going to do the part. I go to South Dakota and kind of burn some rut days, kind of in travel more than anything, to capitalize on the almost perfectly timed cold front.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out well. Y'all see that in the video. But that then puts everything a little bit out of whack because we don't make it home until November 3rd. So, and that's usually, we're already kind of on another hunt at that point in time. But it made it worth it, which you will see in the video. Then we start watching cameras, and we're concerned about a, like, Indian summer early November. Like, not even warm, but, like, extra hot, mm-hmm. right? Like, 80s on like, northern plains stuff. And that's, like, a little concerning.
Yeah.
So we're like, you know what, man, it's fine. Let's just go through the weekend, and we'll just... The 7th is like a magical day. I don't believe in magic, but it's a phrase. You know what mm-hmm, I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I got you.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
It'll be good. And then, so that's our plan. The 5th, we check the trail cameras. Rage. Dude. The 6th, we check the trail cameras. Rage. Right? And so now, Tyler's freaking out. We missed the rut. It's over, you know? Yep. And we're all like in a big hurry to get where we're going.
I'm in a hurry to get things done.
Is that Diamond Rio?
No. I think that's like, is that Alabama?
Maybe. It's one of those
not Diamond Rio.
Country boy bands.
It's either them or Black Hawk, maybe.
Ooh, yeah, Black Hawk.
I feel like it's Alabama.
They had some, was there like a Diamond one or something? Diamond Rio.
Diamond that's Rio, right. Dude, I've seen them live within the last few years. And they have so many, like, number ones that they had to play, like, 90 seconds of each one and do, like, a medley that was, like, 15 minutes long to get them all
in. Bad to the bone.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
They're, like, a 7-time, I guess, ACM or something, like, or Grammy, like, best vocal group for country. I mean, they had it going on, dude. I was a big Diamond Rio fan, for sure.
Did you see them at Billy Bob's?
Yes.
Yep. It's a good place to see, like, very popular bands.
They bring in some kind of older and popular bands. The one thing about Billy Bob's is that, at least in the past, the sound is just not up to par with modern technology.
But, you know, people get you ever heard of liquid encouragement? There's kind of liquid ears. You know?
See, yeah. I don't have those.
Me neither.
So it's not fun for
not
me.
Not as much fun.
It's like, man, I'd love to hear this on, like, a crispy sound system somewhere, you know. But
yeah, it'd be cool.
Just not that way.
So, anyways, we hit up on the 7th.
Yeah. Yeah, so I actually decided I was going to go up there, I think a little bit ahead of y'all, and I, like I said, I was checking cameras, there wasn't a whole lot going on, it was very hot, and I decided not to. Well, guess what? The day that I was going to go up there and hunt that afternoon, at the place I was going to hunt that afternoon on that wind on that day was our best area, and one of the high scoring, one of the big deer that we had, a big eight, like 140 plus type eight.
Let's talk about these deer, because mm-hmm. we ran cell cameras, the Moultrie mobile cameras. Mm-hmm. We work with those guys, and absolutely the edge cameras are bad at the bone. Mm-hmm. We love them. They do a great job. And we are watching cell cameras and trying to make moves off of that. And we have like three target bucks. And this may or may not come into play now or in a later podcast. Might be important to mm-hmm. know some of this stuff. So we have an 8-point with a broken brow. Mm-hmm. Makes him a 7, but he's an 8-point. I tend to call deer what their frame is.
Mm-hmm.
So like if an 8-point has a crabby little 9-point, I still call him an 8-point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like a, if he had the brow, he would push 150, I think. I've seen him in person.
He's a Mondo.
He's big. Mm-hmm. Big box frame, like a mule deer style frame, you know, like out and up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a 9-point that kind of has like a two-sided deal going on, where one side is kind of a 4-point side that kind of goes up, and it's not super big, but he's nice deer. And his 5-point side is real big. Mm-hmm. But it kind of goes forward. So he's pretty particular. And he has like that bulldog-type body.
Yeah, you know, he's big. Like he's built. A very mature deer.
Yeah. And then there is the deer that I believe you're talking about.
Yep.
And he is like...
just length, man.
He's just got long tines. They curve.
Yep.
Curvy tines are deceptive. And when curvy tines still look big,
yeah,
it's a real big deer.
Yeah, and his beams are long because they go back out... forward and round in, you know, and so I mean he's definitely going to score high.
That's we don't, and I don't even have anything against it too much, but we don't really name deer,
yeah,
anymore. If you hunt a lot of public land, you don't get an opportunity to name things. We end up naming deer like day of, like my South Dakota deer. We named him Slip because he kept on giving
gave
us the slip.
But, I like it, dude.
You know, and
yeah, you can, if you've watched the Nebraska video, my buck in Nebraska, I walk out the door and I'm like, Casey, I'm going to shoot that big eight.
That's right.
It's like, still didn't have a name for him, but we knew there was a big eight around, you know. We hadn't seen him before. And so.
And this is the other big eight you're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That deer shows up like in daylight. I think it was like one of the first times he was really in good daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the 5th or something. I was so sad. I was like, man, because then the next like 2 or 3 days, he didn't show up in daylight.
Yeah,
and
sad.
I don't even know if he even showed up. He like left, probably got with the doe, left the property, and was with her for a couple of days or whatever. So and nothing, everything died. And I was like, man, I missed my chance to like go up there, get it done, get out of KC's way, because this is a property that we have leased, and we have two spots on it really that would be like ambush spots. And I was hoping to, like, get out of his way so that there was no, like, you know, well, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. What are you going to do? You know, that kind of thing.
We both do our best to be considerate of the other person, and it ends up being a game of hee-haw sometimes,
yeah.
You know.
Peepaw, hee-haw.
That's right.
And that's what we did. So, I mean, that's what we ended up doing when we got up there. But, like, it just was, it was kind of a sad deal for me. And, of course, as usual, it ends up not being so sad and, you know, about – few days later, but mm-hmm. So we get up there and we're kind of spending some time on that property, and pretty quickly you had an encounter with the 9-point and felt like, because of that, I won't go into the details of it, or maybe you want to go into the details of it.
Is this before things transpire?
Yeah, because you were, what happened after you had that encounter, you were like, all right, it's your turn. You go where you want to go first. And you gave me the opportunity to go down there to the south.
Okay. So, yeah, long story short, I had said on this property, it's pretty wide open. Mm. There's not a lot of trees around. And it seems as if it might be sensitive to pressure. Come to find out, maybe not. I think the rut helps with a lot of
that. Yeah, for sure.
And we also... I need to start in a different spot. I told myself that I was going to hunt ambush style from the ground on deer and not just stomp the place chasing deer around too much, because that's how you end up, you know, spooking deer and messing stuff up and throwing a bunch of scent everywhere. So one evening, Tyler went and hunted ambush style. We had kind of bedded a deer in a general area, didn't really know where it was, pretty far from where you were going to hunt. So we made a big loop around and pushed up into the center of the property to try to put eyes on the deer. Well, he was bedded in like a whole set of hills over from where we thought he was going to be. And then it was like, well, here we go. Did the thing that we said we weren't going to do. And he was with a doe. So we just ran a quarter mile real fast to get over close to him. And we're trying to kind of work our way around a satellite buck. And he kind of held us up. And we ended up getting caught by that big 9-point. Like at 100 yards, he sees us. And he doesn't know really what we are. We're kind of down at the bottom. He's kind of rutted up because he's been chasing that satellite buck off. And I give him a snort wheeze, and he just freaks out. He runs away. I'm like, what is he doing? Because I have a lot of confidence in the snort wheeze deal. And maybe it's a little bit misplaced. I don't know. Just it's weird. But it didn't work. He ran off. I was like, dadgummit. So we're kind of licking our wounds down here in the bottom. And then here comes a doe, like 10 yards. And I'm like, oh, that's his girl. She came back down here. And so I'm freaking out. We hear beep across, you know, you hear him coming, grunting. And yeah. It's like, oh, man, it's about to go down. And so we're kind of like trying not to spook her because if she blows out, he's gone. But at the same time, I have to kind of get it worked around to maybe get a shot at him. He's going to come right in our laps. And she actually goes down behind us. Perfect. He's going to go right by us. He crests the hill at like 35 and just looks right at us and out of there. Boom. What in the world? So I think that it might have been one of those temperament type things that buck was just not a fighter too mm-hmm. much. He didn't have any broken tines or anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Still doesn't.
He looks like he's in really good physical shape. So he might just kind of be a homebody, which kind of would make sense too because he was in a real specific area of the property a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that he was into the mix too much, you know. Mm-hmm. But he runs off. Again, I'm like, okay, well, it's over. I mean, this is a little insight for people. We make videos, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is dumb. I hate this stuff. I'm like, okay, I drew on this deer. So what we need to do is I need to get up here and you get a shot of me at full draw. That way we can use it in a thumbnail video. If y'all know what that is, that's the picture that you put on YouTube, right? Where the dude in the deer and it's like, oh, it's going to shoot you. You know, mm-hmm. I'm taking this thumbnail shot and the satellite buck like runs over to us. Cause he like had heard us grunting and stuff and saw us. And he was like, and we were like about near trying to not get him to come over because I didn't want to have to make a choice on him. Cause he's like, a 19-inch wide 8-point. He's mm-hmm. a nice buck, mm-hmm. But he's younger, and I would like to see him in 2 years. It would be very cool.
Yeah.
And finally, that deer comes to like 40, and he kind of like eases off. So we go to take this thumbnail shot, and then the 9-point is still around. He's like at 100 yards and runs up out of the ditch. And he is for sure spooked this time. He's gone. Yeah. Like not tail up, like tail down out of there.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like hanging my head like, okay, I messed some things up. Tyler, I'm going to lay back.
Yep. And then.
Sorry, that was a longer story than what you wanted. But. And
then I chose to hunt. A place that's the worst ambush spot in the world.
We actually have a quote that's just sticking with us from there, and it is, this is impossible. We just keep texting that back and forth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we ended up spooking, I guess, that same satellite buck you're talking about, mm-hmm. big wide deer, the next morning at like 60 yards, you know, just because we're in the wide open.
Trying to hide in some grass.
Yeah, and just, you know, I see a rut party going behind me, 300 yards away, and I'm watching it to see if I need to call to him or if I can or if I can move on him. And I turn around, and there's just a wide, awesome young deer looking right
yeah,
at me.
Yeah, dude, if he, like, for real, if I was in a tree in a river bottom somewhere, like, didn't know anything about the bucks around, I would shoot that deer. If it was, like, a quick thing, it'd be sure. Like, yeah, I'm shooting him.
Dude, he's impressive.
Yeah.
But So he takes off, and I start to essentially starting to try to decide like a couple of things. A, there's not a whole lot of good places to hunt on this property. There's, we got like one ambush spot that probably would work out as an ambush spot. So mm-hmm. I'm like, well, there, you know, my dad has had a place for me to hunt for years, and I usually try to stay off of it because there's not a whole lot of target bucks. They try to shoot very mature deer in that place, and there's not a whole lot of target bucks anymore because cows are all over it. Cattle pressure is immense, and there's it had a drought last year, and so I've tried to kind of stay off it over the years, and I mean I've hunted it quite a bit, but just be very picky when I am and stuff. Well, I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to go over there and sit. I've been running a trail camera over there for, you know, a couple of months, but it's only really worked. I mean, it blew out in the first 2 days. I used bad batteries and blew out one of the cameras and didn't have a chance to see what was really coming in there. So we get there, get one down there. So I have about 2-3 days of trail camera evidence, and there's some good bucks around, but none of them are shooters. Mm-hmm. And but I decided to go hunt over there. So we spend some time over there, Eric and I do, and we're hunting, and it's a tree stand situation, so I feel really comfortable about getting a shot if something does come through, right? And so anyway, we eventually we've been hunting one side of this draw based off this wind. Well, we get a different wind, and I go in there, and I want to hunt in that other tree because we film out of it better. And I think it offers better shots, but I'm sitting here throwing these milkweeds, and I'm like, man, the wind's kind of doing this. I need to blow it up out of this draw, not down the draw. Not to mention, if you think about it, deer typically go down like field edges or draws on the downwind side a lot of times. So if like, or a shelter belt, right? Like you're going to see a deer traveling a shelter belt on the downwind side, smelling for does bedded in that shelter belt, right? Mm-hmm. So same thing in this draw. And I'm like throwing this milkweed, trying to make the other side work. And it just, I was just like, it's just not going to work. We're going to have to be here. It's just bad, just enough. And so we get up in this tree, and it's the same tree that I shot my deer out of last year and on the buck truck series. And so we get in it, and we'd had a couple of good hunts. We'd seen some really cool rut action. I thought I was going to shoot at one point. I started shaking one time when a buck came in, and I don't know that we really had the time to tell the story because we've still got other things that work things to do, and the day should be over by now. But there was some cool stuff going on with some challenges.
That's what you got to watch the video for, you know.
That's right. It'll be on there. But that particular night, we get in there, and we have these does come through that's the same family group of does we've been seeing. And this is an interesting thing to kind of think about. But deer are very they have, like, personalities, and they're very particular, and they're very different from each other. This is why we like deer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, their antlers look different from each other. They act different from each other. They got 2 throat patches sometimes. They got a black ring around the bottom of their mouth, or sometimes they don't. They got white rings around their eyes, or sometimes they don't. Like, they're just so different.
I love
different.
That stuff, too.
Yeah.
I love walking up to a dead deer and be like, look at that black mark on his chin. Yeah. You know, and it's just like, and then you're like, do they all have that? And you have to start thinking, and you're like, well, no. See, like, you look up here on your wall.
Yep.
Some of them have a very more pronounced black chin than others, you know?
Yep.
It's cool. Some of them have big ears, some have little ears.
Some of them...
The double throat patch of that Texas deer up there is awesome.
Look at if you look at, like, the middle deer, and see how the black goes from his lower jaw to his upper jaw up to his nose? Look at One-Eyed Jack. It doesn't go past his lower jaw, the black line. Isn't that
sure
cool?
Sure enough. Big white nose.
Yeah. So, like, they're just so different, right? And that's why we like them. Well, these 3 does come in, and I had noticed them coming through the other day. They're going up to this ag food source at night, and so we're sitting basically hopefully in between them, their bedding, and that ag food source, even though it's a long ways away. They're just, these deer are used to traveling. So these 3 does come through, and it's like a mature doe, a 1.5, and a 6-month-old. Mm-hmm. And the 1.5 is the most freaked out deer I've ever seen, I think, dude. It was wild. Like, they would come in, and the mature doe would be calm. The little doe would be calm. They would browse around, feed around, and the 1.5 would stand off to the side and the whole time whipping its head around, looking up stuff. It looked up at us like six times, and we're in a big cottonwood, so we probably look a lot like that tree, and it's still mm-hmm. looking up there, checking us out. Doesn't catch us moving or anything, because it would have been out of there if it had. And it would, like, it would, you know, it would think that it would, like, run off with its tail up for a couple steps. And the other does would, like, look at it and be like, okay, this thing does this all day, every day. But it's just very interesting. Like, apparently that doe, if that is its mom, is like its dad, right? Instead of like its mom, I would assume. Like, its personality is more like its dad's personality, because the mom was not like that. So I just have to assume that's what it was like. But the, you know, it's just weird to me, because some bucks will be like that, right? Some bucks will be just almost impossible to kill.
I've always kind of wondered if it's more about recent events.
Maybe.
Like, did a bobcat, like, kind of make a play at that thing?
Yeah, it sure could have. You know? Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just kind of, that's how I always kind of process it. Like, if a doe's real jumpy, I'm like, man, somebody tried to mess with her recently.
But if they're walking together the whole time, you'd think they would all three be like that.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, I don't know. If one of them got jumped, I feel like all of them would have got jumped. But yeah, it's just, it's a weird thing. And I thought that was interesting. But anyway, they kind of pass on through. And they had passed through a couple nights before we hunted them. And as soon as they were gone, they weren't even like out of sight hardly. I see a buck come in. Well, so I'm kind of expecting the same procession of things to happen, right? Mm-hmm. This is a good buck. It's a good 8-point, but it's not a shooter. I think it's a 4-year-old. Anyway, they leave out, and I'm like, oh, things are fixing to happen. Well, nothing happens for a while. It's kind of windy. And I'm sitting there looking around, kind of looking forward, and I don't really – I expect for deer to come from, like, my left, but – I don't expect them to go behind me, because it just doesn't happen that way very often. It's kind of higher ground. Mm-hmm. It's out of the creek system kind of. And so I don't hardly ever see them do that. I have seen them do it before, but I don't normally see them do it. Well, we kind of came in from up high, and we walked down the edge of this creek bank and diagonal to the tree. Pretty high, actually, higher than we normally do for whatever reason. And this buck, I hear steps, and I hear him walking in, like, the cottonwood leaves. And so I kind of move my eyes but not my head and start to look to the left. And as soon as that happens, Eric goes, there's a buck. And he said it real chill. And I was like, okay, well, there's a 2 or 3 year old buck, not a shooter.
Pretty chill guy.
Yeah, I was like, not a shooter, no big deal. So I was like, all right, where's he at? And he's like, over where that other buck came from last year. And so I was like, okay. And so I turn my head. I'm like, can I move? Is it looking? And I was like, he's like, no. So I was like, all right, I start turning my head. I look down to the left. I don't see this deer. And from where that deer came from. And so I'm like, where is it? I don't see it. He goes, it's by that tree where that deer scraped last year, if y'all saw a buck truck. And
hey,
so I look, yeah.
By the way, that scrape is huge right now.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
We walked by it the other day, just pulling that camera, and
Mondo.
People talk about car hoods.
About that size.
For sure.
Yeah. It's kind of a little landmark scrape tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I look up at the tree, and I still don't see this thing. I'm like, what is going on here? And then finally something catches my eye moving up the hill even more a little bit. So I turn back and look up at it, and it is Mondo. And I was like thinking, what in the world, Eric? You're supposed to tell me, like,
tell
you
me
might
get, my
should bow. Get your bow. Like, I mean, I'm still thinking at this point, this is just like a fun thing for us to video coming in, you know. This is like 150-something-inch deer, probably, 10-point, you know. And immediately, as soon as I saw him, I recognized him. And I'll tell you kind of what he is after a minute. But he's working kind of up the hill, like he's going to come out on top. And then he kind of flattens out and starts coming kind of to us. And I've seen one buck kind of come off that hill and come down right in front of us at like 10, 15 yards. And I'm thinking, I'm fixing to get a shot right here. It's going to be wide open. It's going to be awesome. Point blank. Well, he starts coming at us. Then all of a sudden he stops, nose down, and starts smelling around. And he takes a stomp. And I'm like, dadgummit, he's got our ground scent. And so he sits there for a second, smells it, lifts his head up, goes back down and smells it again. Just, you know, didn't bother him enough. And he works his way through it, basically, after a minute or whatever. And he's just like, okay, well, no big rush. You know, it's something different, but, you know, guess there wasn't enough scent molecules for him to be worried. And he works through it, and it's still kind of like debatable as to whether he's going to come down in front of me or work up the hill and back behind me. And so finally he kind of gets on his horse in a direction, and he's going up the hill behind me. So I'm like freaking out. You know, I've gotten my, I think I got the GoPro on, got my bow finally somehow through all this. So luckily the wind was blowing really pretty good, you know? And so I grab a rangefinder. It's Eric's rangefinder because I left my rangefinder in a different state somewhere.
On the ground by a tree.
So, yeah, I climbed a tree. So I took my rangefinder, my binos
off.
Not
only with your rangefinder, but your binos. Yeah. And your FHF bino harness, which is on sale right now on Meteor.com.
Yeah. And all that is just sitting out in the woods on public land in a different state. So I'm using Eric's rangefinder. Well, Eric's rangefinder, there's like a, I think this is how it works. Hit it once, it turns it on. Hit it again, it will not range. Hit it the third time, it does range. So you,
that ain't good.
The first time you hit, it does not range. I've noticed that. I don't know why that is. And so I'm like, I got one small lane because we haven't worried about lanes behind us because deer never hardly ever go up there. But so there's branches everywhere on this cottonwood tree, and they're, you know, it's a high lane. You know, it goes up into the branches, essentially, because he's going up out of the creek system. Mm-hmm. Well, I got one little lane. It's very narrow, and he's coming up on it fast. And I'm, like, you know, hitting this thing, like, as many times as I can. Finally, I hit, like, the dirt on the top, and it said 19 yards. And I was like, okay, we good. You know, well, he's going to come around within 5 yards of that, you know, probably. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, as soon as I hit that saw 19. I dropped the rangefinder down. Well, first of all, I couldn't even find the rangefinder because I'm not used to it. And I had been putting it in my jacket pocket all week. Mm-hmm. Well, for some reason, because I was sitting in a seat that was loud, it was banging on that seat. So mm-hmm. I tucked it in my jackets. So mm-hmm. I could not find it at first.
Oh,
I was
freak
like,
out.
Oh, you know,
freak
like,
out.
Finally, I like unzip my jacket and I'm like digging in there and get it ranged. And I mean, as soon as I arrange it, I drop it down. It's hanging on I think I got it hanging on my bino harness. So I drop it and I go to clip on. Well, my release, which is now donated, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah. My release, the like set screw for the post that like you can make it longer or shorter, mm-hmm. is AWOL. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed that there earlier because it was spinning a bunch. So mm-hmm. I screwed it in so it wouldn't unspin all the way.
My backup does that. Yeah. Yeah.
So I screwed it in a little bit just to make sure. I didn't know how long it was. I couldn't remember, right? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently it's shorter than I'm normally used to. So mm-hmm. when I go to clip on, I can't get my fingers dude. Up high. Like, it's like I'm breaking my wrist backwards trying
I
to get it clipped on.
Freaking out.
Dude, I was for sure, dude. And I'm talking, I like could not get it. I finally get it clipped. And as soon as I get it clipped, I look up, and he is coming into the lane. And I just draw back. He's looking quartered away slightly, looking away slightly. And I knew that when he came into that lane, he was going to hit the top, and he was probably going to look somewhere around my mm-hmm. shooting lane. He was going to just – because when they come over the top, they want to
look around.
So they stop and look. And so I knew that was going to happen. I didn't even have to grunt stop him, dude. I knew it was going to happen. And anyway, I yank it back. As he's coming into the lane, and I put it on him, and I'm like just trusting that he's gonna stop. And he like high heads, and so I know. And he takes about one more step and stops, and it's right in the lane, dude, perfect. So I like really dialed. I've been taking like the extra second in my mind a lot lately, and I really dialed it in there. I put it low, heart. It was where I was aiming for, and I shoot, and I mean it looks great. And he takes off running, and he runs like a half circle. And then I bet he ran 250 yards, dude. He ran forever. And we found out that I smoked the heart, in fact. Mm-hmm.
Cut the front of it off, yeah.
And he straight up ran 250 yards like that. It was mm-hmm. crazy. But when he got to 250 or whatever he got to, he stops, and then it was like dead.
He's lights out.
There was no kicking, no mm-hmm. like flopping and trying to get up. It was like as soon as he stopped, he rolled up. He just tipped over and did not move at all. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
This is November 10th.
Yeah.
It's like full-fledged rut adrenaline. Mm-hmm. It's going down. And it's like, it's weird that a hormone, which I'm assuming adrenaline is a hormone, right? It's a something to do with the endocrine system,
yeah.
right? Endocrine system. And
So it's strange that that can circumvent like bodily function, that you can cut a heart, sever the artery, because we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I'm the one that found the heart.
Yep.
you can sever the arteries and the veins, like the feeder and the what it's kicking out, the blue and the red,
mm-hmm.
right? And that thing can still just go.
It blew my mind.
How fast, I mean, how many, 250 yards for a deer, I mean, they can't run 80, right? But they can run real fast, probably 35 mm-hmm. is probably what he's getting it at if he's going top speed, and he probably is. I mean, it had to take him 10 seconds,
it took,
right?
Yeah, it took a while.
Yeah.
And I could not believe it. I knew he was dead. I knew it. I was almost 100% sure he was not going to make it out of this open area that he ran into.
Yeah.
But like, it was weird.
There's also an experience of mine that you can see in the South Dakota video that make you start questioning everything you know.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure, I don't know if consciously or not, but you're probably thinking, like, do I need to shoot this thing again?
I'm just like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And finally, he just stops and, like I said, rolls over. So this deer had not been on my cameras that I know of. In fact, he had been, I don't know, probably a mile to at my dad's stand location. He had been down that direction living. And in fact, I knew this when I first saw him because of the shape of his rack and the color. It's pretty white. This deer in 2021, a lot of you will remember I shot the biggest deer of my life on public land, 50-yard shot. Eric killed the footage. It's like a viral bow hunting clip, right?
Yeah, that's right. If you see bow hunting like hunters on Instagram or something ridiculous,
big whitetails,
it's going to be on there.
They're going to have some video, if it's a repost account, right, of this buck. It's like a very viral video. And so he, that year, 2021, I was actually hunting the same property, and I spent some time at both stands where I killed and like this year and last year, and then where my dad's stand is. And I'd kind of hop back and forth because I was hunting two deer. One of them was a big 10 point, which I shot last year, much smaller than he was the year before. And the other one was a huge 11 point. And I rattled in at my dad's stand, which I had done a hanging hunt back behind where his stand is. And I rattled that 11 point in, and I'm watching him, and I'm reacting to what he's doing. And at the same time, there's another deer watching me. I have no clue who's in the world that Eric is filming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big 10 point with like a broke G3 or something. He's got like a pretty broke rack, but he's a nice buck, you know. That is the deer that I shot this year, 2 years later. And it's pretty cool, man. So
there's footage. People can go back and watch that.
Yeah.
And they'll see this deer 2 years younger.
Yeah. And then when we release, we'll put that footage in there, too, because I talked about that. I told Eric, I was like, you know what deer that is, right? When we got confused and I was looking at one and you were filming the other, then that was that deer. So I think we got footage of him twice. So we'll put some of that in that footage. But anyway, recovered the deer. It was a really, really cool moment, man, because I got a little emotional after that because I kind of, you know, it always – this is a thing, man, is like – where we hunt in Kansas, man, it is not easy. We struggle every year.
Down in the dumps.
It seems like we don't struggle because we always kill a big deer.
Yeah.
The last 3 years or whatever, right? But if you look at our first 3 years there, it was real rough. We figured some things out, but it's a straight up just gift from God. It feels like when it finally happens out there, dude.
And at any point in time, God doesn't have to pour that out either. You know,
we can go another 3 years without killing one.
That's right. So every time when it does come together, you're like, oh, thank you.
I mean, you spend like the best part of your year there, and it is very difficult. Mm-hmm. Like it's, I don't know. I don't know how else to say it other than we hunt very open country. Like you said, that property we were hunting, you were having to go to the ground game, which was not what you wanted to do.
This isn't about me, but I've killed some deer on the ground this year. I've not killed a deer from the tree yet.
Yeah.
I want to bad.
You were like telling me before, you know, while we were in Kansas, you're like, dude, I really want to kill a deer that's not looking at me.
I guarantee you, dude. I still haven't got to do it.
Yeah, I know. It's wild, dude. So anyway, it was just a cool deal, man. I really, you'll get to see this video. It'll probably be on actually the Meteor YouTube channel at some point, but, I don't know. It's just very, I don't know. I feel just like not even, worthy, man, because my dad just gave me – he gives me such a cool opportunity out there and has given me opportunities over the course of my life for a long time to hunt, taking me places. And, like, it felt like – you know, I mean, this is something that, like, we strive to do well. We strive to do this well because it is what we do for a living. That's what we want. We want to do what we do for a living well. And for him to, like I told him right off the bat, I called him, and I was like, I told him, yeah, I shot a big deer or whatever. He's super pumped. And I said, man, I think I shot the big one that you were kind of thinking about trying to shoot too. I mean, he was hunting the deer, you know. And he like immediately told me, don't feel bad about it. He said, do not feel bad. He said, when you get my age, you'll understand. He's like, actually, you probably already understand, because he still thinks, you know, I'm probably 16 or whatever in his mind. But no, he's like, he just like, you know, told me, you'll understand. And I do to an extent. I still felt bad about it. But I knew that he wouldn't want me to pass it at 20 yards, no. You know. Yeah. So.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Really good evening. I guess to wrap it up, I was gutting this deer, and I had one of them sharp Havilons, you know, and they have a little mechanism that holds the blade on. So I'm going to cape this deer so I don't go past the sternum. And so I get up in there, and I'm going to disconnect the windpipe and pull everything out. Right? I've got everything worked out and ready to go. I get up in there, and I feel the heart, and I'm like, golly, I smoked that thing, you know. My other hand's up in there real close to each other. And so after I smoked it, I was like kind of like readjusting my grip, and then I was going to pull that knife out. I got hung on that mechanism on something in there. And as soon as it released, it was just like shink right into my daggum thumb knuckle on top.
Did you have the feeling of like blade on bone?
Not really.
That's one of my least favorite things.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times.
No.
I don't mind a cut too much, but.
It's definitely on the bone, but there's a little bit of like soft stuff there. It's the back end of the cut is on the bone and the rest of it's kind of in the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, as soon as I pulled it out, it was like real deep. And I didn't know that it went to the bone because, like I said, I didn't feel it. I can go like rip all the skin off my arm on a turf burn on my elbow and be just fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when it's all in my head. But like when I think about a needle going into the big vein of my arm, or when I look at the deep cut that's just filled with blood immediately, dude, I went to the tailgate immediately. Like I look up, they said they were filming. And I was like, I got it good, guys. And I just pinch it closed, and I walk over to my tailgate, and Eric's immediately, he's a medicine man. He's like, I'm going to get you some stuff, you know. He starts digging around. It takes forever and not finding stuff. And I'm like feeling real woozy, kind of getting that cold sweat going on. So I was like, I got to get to the truck, dude. So I walk over to the truck, and when I go to reach for the door lock or whatever, I like stumble out and miss it. Mm. And so I grabbed it and just dove in.
I came over there and checked on you. And because we were all like, kind of like, what's going on, you know? And I know how this goes. Look, when you're injured, you don't want people messing with you.
Yeah.
So I just kind of gave you some space. And after a little bit, I was like, hey. And I walked over there, and you weren't like sitting in the chair normal. You were just like Shamu'd off in there. and I was like, hey, are you all right? And you're like, yeah, it's just bad. And I'm sick or something. I can't remember what you said, but I was like,
it didn't hurt. I just felt I almost passed out, dude. Mm-hmm. I almost passed out.
It's an infamous quote around here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I'm the only one doing it now.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, do you want me to finish that deer for you? And you're like, yeah, that'd be good.
You're a champ, dude.
No, it ain't a big deal. It's
I
easy.
I know, but it's not, you know, when your hands aren't dirty, you're like, crap, I got to go in there and do this. Well, but you got it done, and I was thankful for it. And you got to look at the heart and kind of observe the shot. And apparently I went a really good entry point and ended up coming through, like, basically the golden triangle, mm-hmm. like, really pretty far forward. And made a great shot. You finish that for me, and then you come over and, like, wrap my hand, and I get Eric to drive, and I go back and get in the shower, and, dude, I got sick in the shower, dude. First of all, Kaylee wanted to make sure that I didn't need stitches. I didn't want stitches because we're in the middle of nowhere.
Well,
right?
That was what I was thinking, too, is, like, because you asked me, because it would stop bleeding when I wrapped your hand, and you're like, do I need stitches? And I'm like, man, you could go either way. And I still kind of stand by that. It's like, there'd probably be 8 or 10 stitches. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It depends on how close they put them, you know, too. But
it'd probably be 8 stitches.
And I wasn't trying to be selfish about it, but I'm like, yeah, I know you knew this. If we go to the ER, we're not sleeping the whole night.
No, somebody has to go with me.
Do you want
to
do that or not?
I did not want to.
I knew you didn't want to.
I promise you. I felt sick. I don't give a hoot about having a scar on my hand.
Aesthetics.
You know what I mean?
Actually, now you got some talk about it.
I guarantee you. I mean, I've got scars all over me.
A deer hunting scar is way better than
something lame. I got scars all over my hand, dude, mm-hmm. like for playing football and stuff. I don't care. It was the infected thing was really what I was mainly mm-hmm. worried about and getting it to grow back together. So anyway, I showed Kaylee on FaceTime, and I was like, I had to hang up on her. I was like,
oh, I bet she was like, yeah, into it, because she kind of likes that kind of stuff.
And she was like, I don't know what to do. And she's like thinking that I should get stitches, you know, probably.
Girls.
But she just thought that would be, you know, like she didn't know for sure, but that was where she was leaning. Anyway, I finally just hung up on her because I was fixing to pass out. So I go and get in the shower, and I'm like, I got to rinse this thing out. Well, like, I don't want to look at it. So I'm just, like, holding it in the water, like, looking at the wall, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm having to, like, lean on the wall and, like, almost throwing up, almost passing out. I stayed in there for, like, 30 minutes and washed the thing out. Apparently did a good job because it has not been affected at all.
Yeah.
It's actually hurt more today than it has at all. But
it's probably that scab pulling around stuff, you know, that's good and hard scabbed up. It looks great.
Yeah. It hadn't even gotten red around it or nothing, man.
Well, the good news is you already kind of have, like, a thumb thing. So it's not going to affect your bow shooting or anything because it's already like that anyways. Yeah. So
well, and, you know, I was thinking about this. It's probably cleaner inside that deer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think about a mature buck.
Outside CWD, you're fine, man.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A mature buck has lived till 6 years old. Like, mm-hmm. he's probably a pretty healthy sapsucker.
Do you think that's what he was?
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
I think he was four whenever.
That's probably
2021.
Optimum out there, six or seven, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when they're going to have their.
When I jagged was seven, and that was his biggest rack.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, and it all depends on food.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this a little bit different deal, but you know, you talked about that deer, how he was a lot smaller last year. I think the drought really did affect the deer out there a lot.
I do too.
After some other stuff that's been revealed to us, we'll talk about that later. But so it's a great. It wasn't as bad a drought this year, and the antlers looked really good.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about what this deer really is.
Well, I don't know if he is what I thought he was. What I told you guys, I think I had some bad math, but his frame is huge, man. Like he's basically like. Just to help you picture it, he's a 160s type deer, main beams and width wise, but his tines are on the short side. So I don't know if he's going to be in the 160s or not. I don't think he will be, but on his blind key, he has like a keychain that's attached to a little tape measure, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he had it in his pocket when he showed up. And he measured the beams and just like quick measurement. I bet they're longer than this actually when you do it with string and stuff. But with the metal tape, he did 23-inch beams, and we didn't even measure his widest point, and he was 20 inches wide. So he's but his G2s are 9 maybe 10. They're not like very like super mm-hmm. tall, like 11s and 12s. You're talking about like mid 160s probably. Yeah. You know?
That's where I look at my deer from last year, and I originally thought he would. Break 60, and I just don't know because times are a little. It's that drought year,
yeah.
You know, kind of. It's like who knows, what that deer might have would have had on a.
Well, he had good bases,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of thinned out, and mm-hmm. you can see almost like as the summer goes on, he's not quite getting the same nutrition he mm-hmm. had early on in May.
And you can see even. And this isn't about my deer from last year, but you can see like on the end of his main beams, they almost look unfinished. They're kind of rounded, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't thought
about
that.
They're not as pointy.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. It is, man. And the grass, the range looks good out there.
Oh, man. Cover's crazy.
They've got, like, I think June was just a banner month. I think it's mm-hmm. been kind of dry since, but they had enough to carry through.
Yeah.
So.
And we drove through there, you know, doing some trail camera stuff. I couldn't believe how many sunflowers there were.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I wish it was like that every year.
I guarantee you.
Dude, the amount of deer on the landscape, if that was the cover every year, would be unbelievable.
Rager.
But that's like, I've never seen it quite
Maybe
like
we're
that.
Getting back into it, man.
It'd be cool.
Things are cyclical, you know. It'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, congrats on the big buck.
Thanks, dude.
They can put that brow time back on there for you. I don't
that's
know
right.
You know that.
I've heard. We got more big buck stories to tell. We're a little bit behind right now because we did all the Q&A stuff, and we've been hunting a bunch. So we're trying to catch up on these stories. We got a couple more for you, and then we'll get into, like, what's going to happen at Thanksgiving and afterwards. So I'm really excited. There's still a lot of good deer hunting ahead, man. So
absolutely.
Pretty pumped. But, yeah, thanks, guys, for listening. Don't forget that the sale is going on the Meteor website with the First Light and all that.
Give us some love on social this week. This is the podcast, and y'all made it to the end of it, so that means you love us. Be open and honest with you. We don't like having to do the sale promotion stuff too much, but, you know. We do this for a living now.
Everything's
tagged
to a business, man.
That's right, man. You know? Everything. It doesn't matter if it's the
welding,
coffee you drink in the morning, you know, all that. You're going to see some social stuff from us. We're going to try to make it as lighthearted as we can. But if you can help us, show us some love on that stuff, and let's just all have fun, you know, that'll be good.
We also have like a link that you can work through if you want to go to the website. You'll be seeing on a lot of our posts and stories and stuff.
Yeah.
If you go through that link, it lets people know that Steve didn't sell everything, you know.
That's
whatever.
Right. Hey, and legit, this is maybe as more of a consumer than a guy who sells the stuff, but like the prices on some of the stuff right now is real good.
Yeah.
And,
for
you know,
sure.
Like as a little insight, there's new stuff coming out at some point in time. You probably have seen it in some of our posts that we can't talk about it. But that means that, like, some of the stuff that from this past year is really discounted and really good stuff, mm-hmm. you know. The new stuff is cool and new, but it ain't, like, revolutionary compared to what you got right now. Mm-hmm. So go buy that stuff at 40% off, and you'll be rocking and rolling.
For sure, dude. Mm-hmm. There is some cool stuff coming out.
There is. There's especially
there's
one piece that we like.
There's a couple things. For sure.
It's real cool.
No, but it's exciting. They're working hard on that stuff, actually, man. I've been I've been excited to get some of that stuff like into the public eye a little bit. So pretty exciting, but
kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, it is. Michael's favorite song.
That's right. Well, guys, remember to hang out with your family. Don't worry too much about that trail camera app and all that stuff. And remember, this is your element.
Live in it.
You ever get that feeling, the walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins. Hey, everybody, listen up. I got mega huge news. Meat Eater Live is heading back out on the road. That's right. Join me and the crew. Clay Newcomb, Cal, Yanni, Spencer's going to be there. Phil the Engineer is going to be there. Meat Eater Live, headed back out. Now, when you get every ticket, okay, every ticket you buy, you get a signed copy of our new Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook. This tour is celebrating the release of the book. Buy a ticket, get a signed copy, Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, wild game recipes for the grill, smoker, camp stove, and campfire, which I'll point out is a $38 value. Here's where we're going to go. April 23rd, the Mesa Arts Center in Mesa, Arizona. April 24th, the Balboa Theater in San Diego. April 25th, the Grove in Anaheim, California. April 27th, the Crest Theater in Sacramento. April 29, the Union in Salt Lake City. April 30, the Egyptian in Boise. May 1, the Wilma Theater in Missoula. May 2, the Bing Crosby Theater in Spokane, Washington. May 4, Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon. And May 5, the last day of the tour, Pantages Theater in Tacoma, Washington. For tickets and more information, visit the events page at the Meat Eater.com. Hope to see you at the show.